The National Guard Bureau is assessing how the Wisconsin National Guard handles sexual assaults and harassment allegations. It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer-Kent. Between 2013 and 2017, the Wisconsin National Guard received 52 reports of sexual assault. Major Robert Bronya is a sexual assault response coordinator from the Wisconsin National Guard. Here's what he had to say on the Morning Show.
The process can be re-victimizing to people, and we take great care to make sure that we're putting the victim in the driver's seat as much as we can.
We're learning about how the Wisconsin National Guard investigates these incidents and what recourse may be available. Are you an active duty service member, or have you served in the past? Do you have concerns about sexual assault and harassment in the military? Give us a call at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Send an email to ideas@WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. Joining us now is Caitlin Farrell. She's an investigative reporter with the Capital Times. She recently published a four-part investigative series into the Wisconsin Army National Guard and its treatment of soldiers who are sexually abused. Caitlin, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Also with us is First Lieutenant Megan Plunkett of the Wisconsin National Guard. She says she was sexually assaulted by three different Guard colleagues over the course of 3 years. She was featured in Caitlin's investigative series. Megan, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here.
Megan, let's start with you. You were an officer in the Wisconsin Army National Guard from 2012 through 2018. You filed three reports detailing how you were sexually assaulted. Who did you report to, and how did the process work?
Well, originally, I reported a restricted report to the SARC, who we just heard, Major Robert Bronya. I filed a restricted report because I was experiencing severe debilitating symptoms that were interfering with my ability to function, and I wanted to receive counseling. So I filed a restricted report, which included contacting the SARC. I completed a form. He gave me two different locations where I could receive counseling, and that was that report. However, I knew that that wasn't going to stop these perpetrators from preying on other soldiers within the units that I had been a part of. So I also filed a report with the EO office, and that was back in so long ago. That took a long time to process. And during that time, over the years, I was retaliated against and re-victimized, and there were multiple other reports that I filed, most of which, despite making reports, investigations that by regulation were supposed to be initiated, they were not.
Caitlin, the National Guard allows those who experience sexual assault to make two kinds of reports, which Megan just referred to. Can you explain to us the difference between restricted and unrestricted?
Sure. Yeah. So the National Guard allows, like you said, folks to make two different types of reports. A restricted report is a report that one can file. It means that it really doesn't go anywhere. It's sort of just creating a record of an incident and filing that within the Sexual Assault Advocacy Office, as you saw Major Bronya. It's not until someone makes an unrestricted report, they always can change their restricted report to an unrestricted report. But the unrestricted report really triggers an investigation and allows a sexual assault victim's advocate to kind of get more involved and look into possibly moving a soldier from, you know, removing them from a unit. And that's really what triggers action. And so it's not until someone would file an unrestricted report that then the guard would automatically move to look to see if those claims could be substantiated or not.
And Caitlin, describe the process for us. Once someone reports a sexual assault in the National Guard, how does it make its way through the chain of command?
Sure. So my understanding is that, you know, first that report, a soldier must make an unrestricted report to the specific SARC. It's the Sexual Assault Response Coordinator. The National Guard has told me that then they look to see whether local civilian law enforcement, which has primary jurisdiction over those types of reports, want to investigate, pursue a case. Oftentimes, there's a pretty high bar and civilian authorities struggle to kind of bring those cases to light as well. But then there's an automatic administrative internal investigation process where states are supposed to outsource that to the National Guard Bureau, which is a federal administrative agency. And then their Office of Complex Investigations sends investigators to look at that claim. And that's what happened in the case of Megan as well. They had, according to the record, they had someone from OCI come in and look at her claims.
We're talking with First Lieutenant Megan Plunkett of the Wisconsin National Guard. She is a soldier who says she was sexually assaulted by three different Guard colleagues over the course of 3 years. And Caitlin Farrell is an investigative reporter with the Capital Times. She's looking into sexual assault and the Wisconsin Army National Guard. You can join our conversation at 800-642-1234. Caitlin, the National Guard Bureau began its investigation this month into the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Tell us a little bit more about the National Guard Bureau and what it's going to be doing.
Sure. So, yeah, like I mentioned, the National Guard Bureau is a federal agency. It's jointly run by the U.S. Army and the U.S. Air Force. As you know, in Wisconsin, we have the Wisconsin Army National Guard, and we have the Wisconsin Air Force Guard as well. And so the Guard Bureau is set to come in. I understand that they've already sent some folks in to start collecting documents and reports that Wisconsin has had hold of for a while. Governor Evers is the commander in chief of the Wisconsin National Guard, and so he had to formally invite that bureau in. They're going to take about 6 to 9 months, I understand, from the Evers administration to do their investigation, and then with a report set to come out in early 2020. And Evers has said that he intends to make that public. Honestly, I don't quite understand, and I'm not sure many folks outside of the Guard really understand how the Guard Bureau does their investigation. They've done these types of investigations in other states. I know I've read reports that they've been conducted in Alaska, and that's one thing that I'm trying to work on right now to figure out, you know, how often they go into other states, what these reports look like. As I've really tried to drill down to understand how investigators are trained and how they look at these kinds of things, I'm trying to understand how they really do their jobs and how we know, you know, that a report's going to be thorough and objective, and how that's really done. I'm not sure that really, frankly, many elected officials nor members of the public quite understand that process.
U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin requested an inquiry, as I understand. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, she also sort of tag-teamed with Governor Evers to invite the Guard Bureau in. She also has initiated an investigation from the Inspector General for the Air Force Guard, but she went through the U.S. Air Force. And I believe that's ongoing as well. After she had other people come to her, the AP reported earlier this year that there were additional folks outside of Megan. Megan's with the Army. She had heard from a variety of Air Force Guard people who were speaking about problems that they saw. And then Senator Baldwin started to, you know, initiate an investigation even prior to some of the stuff coming out about the Army.
Following a request for comment, the Wisconsin National Guard says it has a robust program focused on protecting victims while educating all of our soldiers, airmen, and employees, and we actively work to create a culture that encourages reporting inappropriate behavior immediately. We're continuing the conversation of sexual assault allegations in the Wisconsin National Guard when we return. We continue in this discussion ahead. We want to know what you think. Do you have a family member or friend that serves in the military? What have they said about treatment of men and women who serve? Give us a call at 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm John Munson in for Kate Archer Kent. Sexual assaults have plagued the military for years. 2 years ago, there were nearly 6,000 reports from military members around the nation who said they had been sexually assaulted during their service. The National Guard Bureau is investigating the Wisconsin National Guard to protect the nearly 10,000 people who serve here. A representative for the Guard says it takes all allegations of sexual assault, harassment, or misconduct seriously, and eliminating it from the ranks has long been one of the organization's top priorities. Question for listeners: have you ever been the victim of a sexual harassment or assault? Did you report it? How are you dealing with the trauma, and what can you recommend to others? 800-642-1234, 800-642-1234, or you can tweet us at WPR Mornings. Megan, what do you want to come from the National Guard Bureau investigation? What do you hope changes?
Well, the one thing that I really hope changes is that after the National Guard investigates the National Guard, government officials determine that we need a third party outside of the National Guard to be investigating the National Guard. Currently, the issue is that the military investigates and tries allegations of sexual assault within themselves. It's all in-house. There's no system of checks and balances. The issue with the Office of Complex Investigations is, as Caitlin stated, it's an office of the National Guard. The United States Government Accountability Office, GAO, published GAO-19-109, which is a report to congressional committees in December 2018. And it's about the National Guard OCI. And in this report, and I think that this highlights a lot of the trauma that I experienced and how I was re-victimized. This report, it states, I'm going to read this. OCI officials stated that investigators are required to complete an initial two-week training course conducted by the U.S. Army Military Police School, followed by 3 days of orientation conducted by OCI. In other words, these investigators received two weeks of training. During my investigations, now again, because OCI is part of the National Guard, the National Guard sets forth manuals, the policies and procedures by which investigations are supposed to be conducted. And those you can actually pull up online. And in the Chief National Guard Bureau manual, it's 0400.01. It states in pertinent part that the investigators will not prejudge the victim's credibility or truthfulness, including indicating disbelief through tone or body language. There's also military rules of evidence, and it includes not including any type of hearsay, slander, derogatory information. And so what I experienced and what I don't want others to experience is I had investigators investigating my accusations of sexual assault and rape who were untrained. They did not try to corroborate evidence. They did not interview witnesses that I gave them lists of. They did not interview any psychiatrist, psychologist, therapist that I had seen. They had not talked with any friends or family. What they did was they set out to discredit me and used only a few witnesses who used as evidence, literally saying, well, I heard from someone, although I don't remember from who it was exactly, but that Lieutenant Plunkett is not credible in her accusations of sexual assault because she had had sex previously with some other individual. And as Caitlin very well reports, one of the individuals from Protect Our Defenders commented on how unprofessional the reports were written and how it seemed like it was written by children, and he couldn't believe that these things were put on paper. And so ultimately what I want is anyone who comes forward with allegations of sexual assault are going to be treated with respect and are going to be receive thorough investigations, and they'll also have the representation with them, individuals who stay with them, Special Victims Council, the SARC, Child Defense, that say as a continuity of care across the years that these investigations take, so that the individuals aren't re-victimized by having to retell their stories to numerous individuals over and over and over again, and aren't getting the support that they're supposed to receive because the individuals who come in aren't sped up and prepared to present. And that's part of what I hope comes out of all of this.
Caitlin, how has the National Guard responded to Megan's complaints, assuming they have?
Right. Well, they're not able to comment publicly to me about her reports and how her investigations were handled. They cite the Privacy Act back from the 70s, which bars them as kind of a partially federal entity from discussing personnel details. And so, you know, that's one thing that does make reporting a story like this somewhat tricky, because I understand that, you know, federal law binds their hands in some ways from discussing how that was handled. But I also think that the reports that one really valuable thing about Megan being willing to come forward and share her story is being able to give to show records and sort of shine a light on how these investigations are done. And that's something that people, you know, we rarely see because the Guard is unable to discuss it. You can't get those types of records often through just going through a normal FOIA request, or they're overly heavily redacted. And so as a reporter, I think a lot of times the records really speak for themselves. And I really sought to showcase that throughout the story and bring in some experts both on sexual assault, military sexual trauma, and folks who deal with sensitive assault allegations like this to discuss that.
And Caitlin, what do Wisconsin lawmakers have to say about the allegations against the Wisconsin National Guard and the federal investigation that's been happening right now?
So the only state lawmaker that I've heard from who has really spoken publicly about this or seems to have followed it at all is Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald, who prior to the National Guard Bureau being invited in, had requested a review from Adjutant General Donald Dunbar about the National Guard's protocols and policies. He requested that a few months ago, and General Dunbar wrote him a letter, and I outlined that in the story, where he really just reviewed kind of the law that's on the books and the policies as they follow them, and said that it's really a priority to rid alleged perpetrators from its ranks. But Senator Fitzgerald has told me that, you know, he's still, I think, interested to see the results of what this investigation has to say, and would really like to see more, you know, more detail about what's going on, because he's heard from a variety of folks as well about in addition to Megan, about issues there.
Major Robert Bonya was on the morning show earlier this month. He's the sexual assault response advocate for the Guard. You include in your pieces that he says this is less an issue with the Guard than and more of a cultural problem in the state and the country. What do you make of that?
So, you know, I think that he is obviously an expert in that field, and I think he, of course, is entitled to that opinion. I think that there very well may be a broader societal cultural problem there. I do think that the Guard as a military entity is distinct, and you know, my aim as a reporter really is just to shine light on it. I think that, you know, at the end of the day, the National Guard is the Governor Tony Evers is its commander in chief, and Adjutant General Donald Dunbar, who's been in the position since 2007. There's just not a lot of reporting that's really done about how things are done there. And so I do think that there are specific types of cultural issues and dynamics there that I've heard from other folks, again, in addition to Megan, and that I think their own internal report really highlights about the nature of it being not everyone in the Guard is part-time, but kind of the weekend warrior, the commanders that run units. You know, units are throughout the whole state, often in kind of rural outposts. And I think at times I've been told, you know, it's maybe difficult to kind of at all times from Joint Force Headquarters in Madison really keep track of and be in touch with what's going on at armories throughout the state. And it's just, you know, it's something that is integral to our state and that I think a lot of citizens don't have a great understanding of unless they or a family member have served in the Guard. And so, you know, maybe Major Bronya is right, but I do think that it's still worth to shed a light on trying to understand how this all works, because ultimately it's our tax dollars that are funding this.
Megan, you stand by your reports, even though investigators call them unsubstantiated. What is your current status in the Wisconsin National Guard?
The current status is that I am awaiting a decision from First Army as to whether I'm going to be medically retired, which I was, and then those orders were revoked, and that was part of retaliation. And the other option is a general under honorable discharge. And the reason for that, again, is due to retaliatory measures by the JAG of the Wisconsin Army National Guard.
Okay, and we're going to have to leave it there. Megan, thank you for joining us. We appreciate your time. Caitlin, also thank you so much for joining us. First Lieutenant Megan Plunkett is a member of the Wisconsin National Guard. She is a soldier who says she was sexually assaulted by three different Guard colleagues over the course of 3 years. Caitlin Farrell is the Capital Times investigative reporter. She recently published Failure to Protect, a four-part investigation into the Wisconsin Army National Guard and its treatment of soldiers who are sexually abused in its service. Coming up, find out why Wisconsin is sending hundreds of children out of state for mental health care.